But first, we welcome back to LNL our old friend, former Greek finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis. Yanis talked to us in early July when he gave us the first post-resignation interview. And now, his prime minister, his friend and colleague, has also resigned, saying the government's mandate is gone and he's called for a fresh election on September the 20th. Now, when his old boss made this announcement, Yanis was just about to head off to France to give some speeches. And what a speech he gave last Saturday. And he started off with these words that he borrowed from a rather famous manifesto. A spectre is haunting Europe, the spectre of democracy. All the powers of old Europe have entered into a holy alliance to exercise this spectre. Yanis, I would have thought it was a time to, to quietly prepare for your treason trial, and there you are being outrageously subversive.
Well, the best form of defense against those who detest democracy is to go on the offensive, isn't it, Philip?
I would hope so. And, of course, your timing's good because, in a way, the issues you were raising about this attack on democracy has relevance all over the place, including in the UK, where a would-be Labour leader is copying exactly the same sort of argument, the same sort of undermining that you endured.
Yes, indeed. Only in Europe it's worse. Because in Britain, there is still a parliament that is sovereign, and there is still a government which is answerable to parliament, and there is still a central bank which is also answerable to parliament. In Europe, we have the largest economy in the world. As you know, the Eurozone is the largest economy in the world, which is run by a group that doesn't exist in law and which is answerable to no parliament. So I wish we had the problems that Jeremy Corbyn has.
How serious is this slowly unfolding crisis, Yanis?
I'm only going to give you an example, which I think tells the story. As you said, I was in France the other day, and I was in eastern France near Dijon, close to the Swiss border. It was a terrible day, even though it was August. It was pouring cats and dogs, and I was giving a speech in the middle of a field, and there were thousands of people in the rain, refusing to go away, getting wet, and wanting to listen to the message. It wasn't because I was Greek or because of solidarity with Greece. There was this element. They were worried about what's happening to them, to their country, because what starts in Athens spreads to the rest of the continent. And, for some strange reason, this has been happening since the 1940s, but now with the Eurozone crisis, it is quite clear that Greece has operated like a laboratory in which quite misanthropic and very bad economic policies, inefficient, ineffective, self-defeating economic policies have been tried out before exported to places like Spain, Italy, and France.
Going back to the election announcement, you quoted your nemesis, the German finance minister, in your speech last week in France, and who in one of your famous meetings said, elections won't change anything. Tell us about that story and why you mentioned it in your speech.
It wasn't a bilateral meeting. It was a meeting of the Eurogroup. So for our Australian audience, the Eurogroup consists of the 19 finance ministers of the Eurozone, plus the representatives of the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, the European Commission. It was my maiden speech, if you want, in the Eurogroup. And I tried to make a very simple point, and I thought it would be an uncontroversial point. And it was this. Greece had a commitment to a particular economic policy from the previous governments. It was called a program, the consolidation program, the one that failed so spectacularly that we were elected in order to challenge it. But that, nevertheless, states have a continuity. The new government is committed to documents signed by the previous governments. So that's one principle. But there is a second principle, as I said to my colleagues in the Eurogroup, and it's the principle of democracy. We have a new mandate, And the new mandate gives us, I think, the right, I said to them, to challenge some of the premises of the original program. And what happens when in democracies you have a conflict between two principles is that through dialogue, through democratic processes, you find a compromise. So we would be interested, I said to my colleagues, to begin an open-ended dialogue with you in order to find a compromise between our mandate and the previous program. The French Minister of Finance, Michel Sapin, spoke after me and supported that idea. He talked about the common ground between the previous program and our mandate. And then Wolfgang Schäuble, in his inimitable way, simply dismissed all this by saying, if elections changed agreements, then the Eurozone would not be operational. So he stated his case categorically with the words that you quoted. He said, elections cannot be allowed to change anything.
Are you standing for Parliament again?
I think I'm going to sit this one out, Philip. And the reason is that the party that I served and the leader that I served has decided to change course completely and to espouse an economic policy that makes absolutely no sense, which was imposed upon us. I don't believe that we should have signed up to it, simply because within a few months the ship is going to hit the rocks again. And we don't have the right to stand in front of our courageous people who voted no against this program and propose to them that we implement it, given that we know that it cannot be implemented. On the other hand, the Syriza party, which was the main body of our government, has now completely split up. I don't think it exists anymore, effectively.
Have you been attracted to join one of the new groupings of rebels?
Well, there is one grouping. It's called Popular Unity. There are 25 to 30 members of parliament, colleagues of mine. I have a great deal of sympathy with them. I personally like them a lot, and I think they like me, but I'm not going to join them. And I'm not going to join them because we have some fundamental disagreements. I consider the stance to be on the isolationist side. I don't believe this parliament that will emerge from this coming election can ever hope to establish a majority in favor of a rational economic program and a progressive one. So instead of becoming engaged in an election campaign, which in my mind is quite sad and fruitless, I'm going to remain politically active, maybe more active than I have been so far, at the European level, trying to establish a European network, because I believe that national parties forming flimsy alliances within a Europe that operates like a bloc, like a macroeconomy in its own interests. That model doesn't work anymore. I think we should try to aim for a European network that at some point evolves into a pan-European party.
You told The Guardian on the weekend that your PM has fallen prey to his advisers and his ego and is looking to become, and I quote, the new de Gaulle or Mitterrand, more likely. That's not a way to endear yourself to him.
Well, my job in politics, Philip, is not to endear myself to any particular comrade, friend, colleague. I think I have a responsibility to the people of Greece who still look at those of us who represented that majestic no vote, to tell them what I think is happening. I don't believe that Alexis Tsipras believes that he can pull off this Austerian memorandum of understanding kind of facade. I don't think this is an economic and political program that even he believes is viable.
You and I have often mucked around with the Greek mythology metaphors, but it seems to an outsider that this is Sisyphus, he's sick of the boulder, he just wants to roll it out of the way.
Well, I thought that Sisyphus was very silly. every time as a kid I used to read the myth, I think the optimal strategy would be to stop pushing the rock up the hill. And I think this is what Alexis Tsipras has now embarked upon doing, to carry on pushing the same rock of austerity up the hill against the laws of economics and against, if you want, very profound ethical principles. He has signed up to a program in the first page of which you will find the following commitment. I'm going to read it out because I've got it here in front of me, Philip. I thought you'd be interested. Listen to this, what he has signed up to. The government commits to consult and to agree with the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF on all actions relevant to the achievement of its objectives before they are legally adopted. Did you hear that? The government commits to agree, even if it doesn't agree. And of course, there's no commitment that the Troika should agree with the Greek government. This is like, you know, just terms of surrender.
Well, in a sense, he's committing treason against reason. And that brings us back to the high treason charges that have been, you know, mooted with you. Now, to the rest of the world, they sound nonsensical. Are you taking them seriously?
No, I'm not. I think this has fizzled out. I wish that they push this forward. As I have said on a number of occasions, there's no arena, there's no court, there's no forum that I would not want to be part of or to be there in order to defend and to expound what I've done. But I very much fear that my opponents, the ones who have waged those accusations, will not dare confront me because there is absolutely not a smidgen of truth in what they've been saying. It's just part of the propaganda against me, not because they said something important about me, but because there's a very simple objective in all this propaganda, and that is the powers that be, those who were behind the Troika's project, detested so fundamentally what I call the Athens Spring, what we did between January and June, which is to give back to the Greeks and to Europeans their smile, their confidence, a sense that democracy can change things against what Dr. Schäuble said.
Yiannis, I thank you very much for your time, and I'm going to end with a quote of yours. The Athens Spring was crushed just like the Prague Spring before it. It was not crushed using the tanks, it was crushed using the banks. As Brecht once said, why send out murderers when we can employ bailiffs? Good luck, Yiannis. Thanks for your time, former Greek finance minister, and as you've just heard, almost certainly guilty of treason. The LNL on RN, and coming up, the birthday party I promised you for Anne Summers' splendid book.